Psalm 71, and we'll get into the message that is for this evening, which in some ways, I guess, does fit in with that as well. Psalm 71, entitled the message tonight, A Lifetime of Trust. But many get saved in childhood. Unfortunately, many fail to continue to serve the Lord and to carry on living for God throughout their lives. And even many who get saved later in life have a relatively short lifespan, if you will, of living for God and serving God. I don't know how true it is. I couldn't really find the statistics. I remember hearing when I was probably in my late teens, something to the effect that the average Christian really serves God only for about 8 years of their life. And that's a low number, because obviously we live longer than 8 years. Typically, after we get saved, some people, of course, don't, and that's understandable. Then they wouldn't be able to live for the Lord for more than that. But it's a sad statistic to think that Christians, people who get saved, don't carry on living for the Lord and don't carry on seriously walking with God. And many times they are caused to quit. Perhaps it's the influence of other people. Maybe in conjunction with that, a failure in their own life to have a personal time with the Lord every day. We need that. And if we don't have that, we're going to soon quit and fall away from serving God as we ought to. And so this evening I'd like to look at Psalm 71 here and challenge us to a lifetime of trust. Psalm 71, it says in verse number 1, In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me, and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, and out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually, and will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to everyone that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high, who hast done great things. O God, who is like unto thee? Thou, which hast showed me great and sore troubles, shall quicken me again, and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness, and comfort me on every side. I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth, O my God. Unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul, which thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame, that seek my hurt. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this portion of Scripture tonight, and I pray that it would be a blessing to us. Lord, I pray that it would be a challenge to us, no matter what our age may be, to commit the rest of our lives to serve you and to follow you with our life. Lord, as the psalmist said, and we read it tonight, we don't know the numbers of the days of our life. We pray that you'd help us to commit those days to you, to serve you. And Lord, that we would be found faithful. As our Savior reminded us, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth. And blessed is that Lord whom his that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. So Lord, help us, we pray, to be so doing when you come, and not to have quit along the way, but to give you a lifetime of trust and service, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The statement of trust at the beginning of this chapter here, and he makes the statement, In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. We don't know who wrote these words, particularly penned them. The top of the psalm, which often gives us who wrote the psalm, is not here. It's not listed as to who it was. Some believe that it was David. Many believe it was David, and that Psalm 70 and Psalm 71 go together. And so Psalm 71 is really the introduction. Psalm 70 is the introduction, and Psalm 70 is really the continuation of that. But the fact of the matter is, it fits David's life very well, because David was a young man who served God from his youth, but we really don't know who wrote it. But we do know, as we said last week about Psalm 67, that it is inspired of God, and so therefore it's profitable for us. But the statement is made in verse number 1, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust." Who was the object of the psalmist's trust? It was God. "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust." No better place than that to put your trust than in God. The time of his trust was now. Do I put my trust? He didn't say, "I did put my trust," but he said, "I do," or "do I put my trust. In thee do I put my trust." He was making a statement that consciously, daily, regularly, he placed his faith and trust in God. And throughout the psalm, as we've read it, he talks about his youth. He talks about now being old age. And I hesitated to read that verse 18, "Now also when I am old and gray-headed." It's hard. I can imagine Antonio's probably going to clip it out of the sound there and out of the video and post that. "Now I am old and gray-headed." See, pastor said he's old and gray-headed. But the psalmist said, "As a youth, I trusted God, and I placed my trust in Him, and that now I'm old, and I still trust in God." His daily thing was to trust God. And, you know, it's a great thing to be able to look back and see times when we trusted God. It's a wonderful thing to be able to look back and see when we placed our trust in the Lord as our Savior. And that's vital that we can do that, to remember a time when we placed our trust in the Lord. And to think back about specific times in our life, maybe trials and difficulties that we faced, where we said, "Boy, I need God," and we trusted God and saw God do some great things. It's a wonderful thing to have those to look back on. But we cannot live on yesterday's manna, as it were. We need to continually be placing our trust in God for the daily needs that we have in our life today. Our faith needs to be in the present. Our faith is not just to be history. Our faith is to be a regular part of our life. We walk by faith and not by sight. And the just shall live by faith, the Bible tells us. In Psalm 46, verse 1, you're probably familiar, the Bible says that God is a very present help in trouble. He's a present help. It's today. I need to trust God today with my life. And so the psalmist said, "In thee do I put my trust." In Psalm 62 and verse 8, the Bible says, "Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us." We shouldn't have to look back many years to remember a time when we specifically trusted God. We should regularly be trusting Him in our life, day by day, and the things that we face with our life. And so the psalmist says here, "Lord, I place my trust in You. I'm trusting You." Now, what does that word trust mean? It has the thought of fleeing for protection, of confiding in, of having hope and making refuge. Again, Psalm 46, God is a refuge and strength. Oh, that we would make God the object of our faith, the one who we confide in and trust in. There are times in our life where it feels like we just need to talk to somebody, and it's great at those times to have good friends, and good friends are invaluable resources, no doubt about it. But our greatest friend is to be the Lord. He is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. To whom do you go when you need to talk? To whom do you go when you say, "I just don't know what to do. I just don't know where to turn. I just don't know how I'm going to handle this"? Who is your confidant? We need friends, yes, but we need God. We need to be able to say, "Lord, I'm going to trust in You. I'm going to continually place my trust in You. I'm going to confide in You." The psalmist often talks about, and Job talks about as well, about meditating upon God and talking to God in the night watches. When you can't sleep and nobody else is there to talk to, God is there. And He says, I'm here to listen. Turn to Me. When you don't know where to turn, turn to God. The psalmist said, "In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion." Let me never be put to confusion. The psalmist had placed his faith in God, believing God to be a reliable place to trust, a reliable one to put his trust in. The thought behind put to confusion is to be ashamed or disappointed or delayed. He says, God, I don't want to be disappointed when I place my trust in you. I don't want to be ashamed that I have trusted in you. God, I'm trusting you not to let me down. Now turn with me to Psalm 25. And I know that Psalm 25 is a psalm that sometimes we have sung, not in recent history, but some of the first few verses of Psalm 25 are verses that are sung sometimes to music, and it's a great blessing. But Psalm 25 speaks of a similar thought here. And it says, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. It's that thought of, Lord, I'm trusting you, and I don't want to have people say, well, what a waste of time it was trusting God, because look what happened. The psalmist said, I'm placing my trust in you, Lord, and I'm trusting you as one who is not going to let me down when I put that trust in you. As we just read there, it ought not to be the Christian who's ashamed. That article I read sometimes may cause some Christians to try and say and minimize, but we ought not to be ashamed of standing on the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God. Those who ought to be ashamed ought to be the ones who transgress against God. There is shame in sin. And there ought to be being ashamed of sin, but those who place their faith and trust in God ought never to feel ashamed. He will never let us down. He will never disappoint us. Not one word has ever failed of all that God has promised to do in the past. That's the statement of Joshua in Joshua 23:14, and Solomon again in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56. Nothing that God has promised to happen before has failed, and nothing that God has promised will happen in the future will fail. He can be completely trusted. Now, there are times in our life where we expect God to do a certain thing and to handle something a certain way, and God says, no, I have a different plan than that, and you need to trust me. That doesn't mean he let you down, because often in those circumstances, later on we turn around and we look back and we say, that's why it didn't turn out the way I thought it should have turned out, because God had something different in mind, something better in mind. And I think eternity will be a time of just seeing those things and having our eyes open to say, wow, would that ever have been stupid if I'd have had what I wanted? But God knew better, and He worked something out completely different. Even our Savior said, let this cup, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. So how much more we need to recognize that. And so when God doesn't come to our expectations, as it were, may we remember that God's plan and His way is better and His way is perfect. But you can take God's promises to the bank. He will never let you down. And so the psalmist said here, let me never be put to confusion. I'm trusting you, Lord, because I don't want to have to be ashamed. I'm trusting you, Lord, because I don't want to have to say, oh no. I'm trusting you, Lord, because I want to know that what I'm doing is what is right. Don't be afraid to state your absolute faith and trust in God, to Him or to others. The psalmist makes that statement, in Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Then he expresses some very definite needs that he has in his life. And he says, then he asks these, the expression of these needs. He asks for deliverance in verses 2 and 4. Deliver me in thy righteousness, verse 2. Deliver me, O God, out of the hand of the wicked, in verse number 4. And so he asks to be delivered from his enemies. And we need God's help in our life to deliver us from temptations, to deliver us from snares, to deliver us from the enemy. Psalm 34, verse 7 says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that feareth Him and delivereth them. God is our deliverer. He is the one who promises to be there to deliver us. We're familiar with what is often termed as the Lord's Prayer. And in Matthew 6, verse number 13, what does Jesus teach us to pray after this example? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So we're taught there to pray and ask God to deliver us from evil, to lead us not into temptation. We need God's help to avoid temptation in our life. We need God to deliver us, to help us in those times of temptation. We need to make practical, wise decisions ourselves. In other words, don't put yourself in the path of temptation and ask God to deliver you from temptation. If it's something that you know you shouldn't do, don't go to the place where it's done and sit there and say, okay, God, deliver me from this temptation. God has given us brains and feet to take us to the right places. And so he says in Proverbs 4 that don't go to the path of the wicked. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and turn away. This things that we can do to shelter ourselves from some temptation. But some temptations are all around us. And so the Bible says that we need to ask God to deliver us from evil, to lead us not into temptation. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, the Bible says that God is faithful, who will not suffer us to be tempted above that we are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that we may be able to bear it. And making a way to escape temptation sounds like delivering us from a temptation. And so God is one who can deliver us, and we ought to cry out to Him and ask Him to deliver us. That's what the psalmist did. He said, deliver me, Lord. Deliver me from mine enemies. It caused me to escape. We would well be right in saying, Lord, deliver me from temptation. Help me not to succumb to that temptation, but give me the strength to stand true and to stand firm and not to follow those things. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul testified of God's deliverance in the past. Let's look at that verse in 2 Corinthians, chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 to 10. Is some verses where Paul testifies to God's deliverance in the past, in the present, and his desire for God to deliver them in the future, and his faith in God to do that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 8, we'll start to read there. And the Bible says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." You read what happened to the Apostle Paul and those who were with him. They experienced some pretty violent persecution and some pretty desperate things that took place in their lives. But verse 9 says, "We have the sentence of God of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead." So they determined to trust in God. But look at verse 10, "Who delivered us from so great a death." That's in the past. God delivered us in salvation. He delivered us from eternal death in hell. And so he looked back and he said, God has delivered us from so great a death, and he doth deliver. God is actively delivering us in circumstances and situations in our life. God is delivering us from temptation. God is delivering us in situations. And look at the next part of the verse, "in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us." That's looking to the future. God has delivered us in salvation. He has delivered us in different place in our life. He is delivering us, and we look to Him to continue to deliver us. And so the psalmist says, Lord, I need you to deliver me. The devil is a crafty foe and will surely seek to ensnare us and trap us. And so therefore, it would be wise of us to say, Lord, deliver me. Help me. Help me stand firm and help me not to give in to the temptations that come my way. And so deliverance was one thing that he sought, but also a place of safety in verse number 3. "Be thou my strong habitation whereunto I may continually resort." There's a lot in that statement, those two statements. We must recognize that God is our place of safety. We've already said that he is our refuge and strength, the present help in trouble in Psalm 46. But here he calls God his strong habitation. Strong is that thought of that cliff, that rock of Gibraltar, as it were, that place of safety that's not going to crumble and not going to fall down, not going to fall apart. And so he says that God is his strong habitation. What's a habitation? It's a dwelling place. It's a place not just to go to once in a while, but it's a place to stay, a place of safety. To stay, we must continually resort to God. Isn't that what he says? Whereunto I may continually resort. God is there. He wants us to continually, daily, perpetually resort to him, to depend upon him for that strength that we need. Not just once in a while. Not just, oh boy, I don't think I can handle this one myself. I better go to God about this one. No, where I'm, unto I may continually, perpetually, regularly resort to go to God to be my strength. Not just, well, I've tried everything else and nothing else works, so, well, I guess I better try going to God then. No, he says that God needs to be that place that we continually resort to, continually depend upon, that we continually go to Him. Where else can we find the strength that we need to fight life's battles? God is the one who is our strong habitation. Look at Psalm 61, just a couple pages back. Psalm 61 and verse number 2. Psalm 61, verse 2. I think sometimes we feel like the psalmist said here, Psalm 61, verse 2, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, leave me to the rock that is higher than I. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. In this world, with its trials and difficulties, we need a place of safety, or we will be overwhelmed. God is that place. He's that strong habitation whereunto we may continually resort. He's given us an anchor for our soul so that we don't get swept away. In Hebrews 6:19 it says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Yesterday we were taken out fishing, and it was a little bit choppy out on Lake Simcoe yesterday. And we wanted to stay in a certain spot. We had the little thing that said where there was fish, and we were like, okay, here's fish. So we shut off the motor and stayed there, but it was easy to drift. So we threw down the anchor. But the anchor, it caught on seaweed, and it caught in sand a little bit. But before you knew it, we looked, and the people that we were with, whose boat kept them in one spot, we were like, man, where are they? They're way over there. Let's fire up the engine and go back over there again. And we had to do that two or three times. We kept drifting away because there was nothing strong for that anchor to hold on to. And my friend, tonight, we have a hope that is an anchor of our soul that is sure and steadfast and will keep us from drifting in this life. The Lord is that strong habitation. He is that place of safety whereunto we may continually resort. And so the psalmist says, I've declared, I put my trust in the Lord. Lord, here's what I need. I need deliverance. Lord, I need that place of safety. And then in verses 5 to 13, we see his testimony to others. And what wonderful statements are made in verses 5 to 13 here. He says that God had been his hope from and trust from his youth. In verse number 5, his hope, that word hope means expectation, the thing that I long for. God was who he had lived for throughout his life. God was everything to him, and that alone is a great testimony. But he says, Lord, you've been my trust from my youth. By thee have I been holding up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. He said, right from the moment I was born, Lord, it's you that's been watching over me. And when I came to a place of youth where I understood that, Lord, I placed my trust in you, and I've continued to trust in you throughout my life from that time. It's a great thing to give your life to God as a young person. Why do we have outreaches to children? Why do we have children's ministry? Why do we have vacation Bible school? Why do we have our kids club? Why do we have Sunday school time and junior church time? It's because we believe that it's best to start trusting in God as a child. To begin your life with God. Begin making a conscious choice at a young age that I am going to give my life to God and to make Him the center of your life. You realize that when we trust God from our youth and really give ourselves to Him, that we have the opportunity to have Him guide us through the biggest decisions that we make in our life. The decisions of education. What am I going to do with my life? What am I going to choose to do with my life? Where am I going to go to college or university? Am I going to go straight to work after high school? All those things, they're there to say, God, would you direct my path and show me what you have for me? To choose a career path, perhaps. Say, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? Where do you want me to serve you? Do you want me to be a person who serves you through the local church as I work another job? Do you want me to be in ministry somehow? Lord, what do you want me to do? As young people, we give our life to the Lord. As young people, we have the opportunity to ask God to mold and form our lives, to direct our paths through those big decisions. Lord, who do you want me to spend the rest of my life with? A life partner decision. You realize that having God helping us to make that decision, that makes the decision a whole lot better, a whole lot easier, a whole lot stronger. Wisdom in life, throughout life, and throughout all the decisions of life. And God is there for us to look to and to ask for that wisdom. The psalmist said, Lord, I made you my trust from my youth. What a great testimony. What a wonderful thing that is. Those who trust God in their childhood and give Him their lives have no regret of doing so. Ecclesiastes 12:1 reminds us that youth is the time to look to God. Youth is the time to trust God. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Now you may be saying, it's too late. Youth has passed for me. I always tell people, you're never any more youthful than you are today. We can't go back. I just read it. I'm now old and gray-headed. I can't go back to youth. But I can say, I'm as youthful as I'm ever going to be. Therefore, I'm going to remember my Creator today. I'm going to give my life. I'm going to put my trust in God from today. Even if I've neglected to do so in some times past, I can make that decision to do that from today. And I encourage you to do that. And young people, I encourage you, never take your life back to yourself after you give it to God. Keep trusting God. Keep looking to God. Keep making Him the center of your life. Verses 7 to 13. And verse 7, such a wonderful verse, isn't it? And I'm sure that in many ways, perhaps we can relate to it. I am as a wonder unto many. I am as a wonder unto many. The psalmist said, but thou art my strong refuge. People wondered, what made the psalmist tick? What is it about this guy? What is it about this person? How did he make it through these difficulties? How did he maintain what maybe a little bit of sanity in their mind he had? How did he do that? I'm as a wonder, they scratch their heads and say, I don't get it. The psalmist said, I'll give you the answer. God's my strong refuge. It's God who's been with me through it. It's God that's given me peace in the midst of the turmoil. It's God that has calmed the storm in my life or calmed me in the midst of my storms of life. Those who didn't know the Lord or who don't know the Lord just really don't understand how Christians function. You talk to somebody about making some of the big decisions in your life, and if you as a Christian say, well, I'm going to pray about that, they say, pray about it? Well, just decide for yourself. Come on, just decide right now. Well, I'd like to talk to God about that. They say, I don't get that. I don't understand. They drive by and they see cars in the church parking lot, and they say, I don't understand why they go there. Why do they go to church? Don't they know there's a baseball game to watch or, you know, some place to go, some place to shop or some work to be done? Why? I don't understand it. In Titus chapter 2 and in 1 Peter chapter 2, the Bible talks about God's people being peculiar. We're unusual to the people of the world. It doesn't say, I don't understand it. I don't get it. The psalmist said, I am as a wonder to many. But Lord, you're my strong refuge. He says, by thee have I been holding up. Cast me not off in the time of old age, he said in verse number 8. Mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God has forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there's none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed for that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt, but I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. Sometimes people may think that Christians are easy prey. Oh, they're weak. They depend on their faith like a crutch. They're weak. And they'll be easy. We'll be able to dupe them pretty easy. But it's far from the truth, isn't it? Because God is on our side. That's what we looked at this morning. Laban changed the wages on Jacob so many times, but God was faithful to Jacob. And the psalmist says, I'm as a wonder to many. They don't understand my faith in you, Lord, but you're my strong refuge. And they may think they can take advantage of me, Lord, but you're the one that's fighting for me. So you're going to take care of them, and I'm just going to continue to trust you. Truly, the believer's life is a testimony to God's grace and God's power. In the end of the chapter, and we don't have time to look at it in great detail tonight, but in the last 10 or 11 verses, he gives really a declaration of God's greatness and a determination to continue giving his life to God, to praising God and to serving God with the rest of his life. Yes, he'd served God with his youth, but now his youth was past. So what was he to do now? Well, verse 14, we read it, I'm going to praise you more and more, Lord. I'm not going to stop now. I'm going to keep praising you. And rather than let it back off on my praise of you, Lord, I'm going to praise you more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. What did the psalmist say later on? Another psalm says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Because how many days do we have left? Whether we're young or old, we don't know. The Lord is coming back. Probably soon, but whether the Lord comes back or we pass away in the more natural sense of our life, we don't know how many days we have, but we can determine like the psalmist, and he at the end of his life or later in life said, Lord, I'm going to keep praising you. I'm going to keep telling people about you. I don't know how long I've got, but I'm going to use the days I've got to serve you. He was going to determine, and he was determined, to serve God at whatever age he was at, which now was definitely older. He wanted to be used of God now as he was before, to teach the next generation what he knew with whatever time that he had left. He trusted God to give him the strength to carry on in verse number 16. You know, it saddens me to hear people say, well, I used to serve God a lot more, but now, you know, I'm retired and I'm just going to take it easy. Well, I understand things change and it's different, and we may not have the physical stamina and strength to do what we used to do when we were younger and so on, but, you know, somebody has well said it, I think, Christians really ought not retire, but retread. You know, our ministries change, but don't let that make you say, well, you know, and I've heard people say this, I put in my time, now we're going to let the younger ones take over. Well, I understand that sometimes the younger generation maybe has more vim and vigor to do some of the things, and maybe you don't feel like participating in a baseball game or a football game, not able to do that, those kind of things, but that doesn't mean that you just say, we're just going to sit back and let them take it over and do everything. Well, the psalmist said here, I'm going to use the days that I've got and do what I can with the days that I've got and serve God with the time that I have. Older believers have invaluable experience to share with younger ones of trust in God of days gone by and of a testimony to God's faithfulness throughout their life. And what a great thing it is when older believers just continue serving God. Just continue to be that testimony of faithfulness as the psalmist said here. And maybe your role changes, but don't say my role is finished. Until God says it's finished, and when He calls you home. Use the time that you have for God. Prayer is a vital role that really nothing can hinder us from being involved in. And it's a vital role. We need the prayers of God's people. And some people say, well, Pastor, I really can't do much anymore, but I'm praying. Praise God. We need that. Doesn't mean young people, younger people, middle-aged people shouldn't pray, but maybe older people have more time to pray and praise God because we need it. And so the psalmist said, I'm going to keep using my abilities, whatever they may be, to serve God. I'm old and gray-headed now. I'm not in my youth anymore, but I'm going to carry on serving God. And his salvation never lost joy to him. many other things we could look at, but verse 23 just jumped out to me as I looked at this psalm, and I thought, we can't read it without looking at this. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul, which thou hast redeemed. Never forgot what God had done. It was way back in his youth that God had saved him, because he said, I've trusted you, Lord, from my youth. But he said, still today, when I start singing about my redemption, I get joyful. I'm glad about what you've done for me. And so he says, my tongue shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long. And he continued to speak of God to those others around him. Oh, the joy of a life given to serve God. It begins by making God your trust. It continues by daily making God your hope, your refuge, whereunto you continually resort. It confuses the lost. They don't understand it. What is their deal? Why do they do that? You may be a wonder to many, but continue to make God your strong refuge. A living relationship with God results in the senior years being given to Him just as the younger ones were. So wherever you're at tonight, would you determine to have a lifetime of trust? Let's pray together. Lord, again, we thank you for this time, and we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the testimony of the psalmist. Lord, we know that whoever penned these words was an imperfect, frail human being as we are, had their struggles, and maybe though they declared that they had put their trust in you from their youth, yet still, Lord, I'm sure there were times in their life where they strayed away and didn't walk as close to you as they would have liked, and probably has some regrets for straying away from you a little bit. But Lord, we thank you for the testimony of their life, that throughout their life they trusted you and made you the center of their life. And Lord, I pray that we as a people individually would choose to make you our trust. Lord, we can't go back to any more youthful than we are today, but we can determine today to make you our trust. And we can determine that we're going to use the days that we have left, whether we're young and full of strength or whether we're old and more feeble, perhaps gray-headed. But Lord, we can use whatever time we have left, because we know none of us know the numbers thereof, to serve you. And I pray that we would do that. And Lord, that you'd help us to indeed just trust you to deliver us. Lord, that we would be perhaps that wonder to many, but you would be our strong refuge. And that they would hear from our lips how precious you are to us. And so Lord, now as we move into this time of remembering what you did for us upon Calvary, I pray that it would be a special time also, a time of remembrance, a time of joy, as we just looked at what the psalmist said when he remembered his redemption. Lord, may it be a time that we would rejoice, and yet a somber time of self-inspection of our lives. And Lord, a time of great deep appreciation for all that our Savior accomplished for us upon the cross of Calvary. So bless this time, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen.